Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Angelos. It's a pleasure to be with you this week. You know, over the course of the past month, we've been spending time working on financial literacy for children, and you know, that's really been our theme for the month of February. With that in mind, one of my partners over at CNA Financial Group, Sam Soprano, who also is the host of Outside the Box on Hunterton Radio, has also been working with me on coming up with ideas on educating children about money and, you know, finances. And what's interesting is Sam has put together a little outline that he's been working with families as they educate kids about money. So, Sam, I want to welcome you to the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, terrific. So, Sam, you and I have been chatting about this whole topic of financial literacy for children, and we've broken the categories down as far as how to educate children based upon ages.
Correct. And, you know, the earlier you start, the better.
So with that in mind, we kind of broke this down into different categories. So what I'd like to do with you today is really go through some of the activities that people might do with their children based upon different ages so that they can have some insight and direction on, you know, what's the right thing to do at this point in their life with their children.
Sure.
Fair enough?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sam, if we were starting out, we had a couple that had young children, say ages 3 to 5, and we were going to start to teach them some of the basics about money and so forth. You know, one of the ideas that we'd spoken about was is that 3 to 5 year old age bracket should really be predominantly about recognition and the recognition about money and so forth. So what are some of the activities that you've been educating people about and you've been talking to them about as it relates to that?
The first thing I think you need to do is identify, you know, coins and their value and sit them down and say, okay, this is a dime, this is a quarter, here's a dollar bill, here's what $10 looks like. That'd be the first thing, identifying, you know, the currency. And then as you walk through the neighborhood, you know, you basically point out that people working, you know, the mailman's working, the policeman's working, your teacher in school is working, and then encourage them to, you know, think about, you know, how they could earn money. And, you know, maybe a lemonade stand in the summertime or selling, you know, cookies or, you know, get them indoctrinated in the idea of making money.
I got you. And it's a really young group, so it's like
you want to make it fun and enjoyable, you know, not a task type of thing, but, you know, enjoyable for them to get them aware of what's going on.
You know, what's interesting is foundationally, you know, my youngest daughter is, you know, just finishing up college and so forth, and, you know, she's, you know, was doing her student teaching with kindergarten, and it was interesting is, you know, when you talk to her about kids that come into school and some of the processes that they go through, is learning about money and things of that nature. So that really is kind of the age that if you were even trying to get your children ready for school, helping them to identify money and some of these things I think are really key.
Yeah, it's and making it fun takes that scariness away from it, you know, for kids.
So, Sam, let's go now to our next bracket, which is, you know, we have them as the 6 to 10 year olds. And when we think of them, the concept there is to start to help them to start to make some choices about money.
Exactly. And, you know, now they're getting a little bit older. So, you know, bring them to the grocery store with you and, you know, include them in your decision making. For example, at the grocery store, explain, you know, why you're picking one item over another. You know, give them $2 and let them go pick out fruit. Which, you know, you have $2. Which fruit do you want to buy today? And let them make those type of decisions. And when shopping, you know, with them, you know, speaking out loud to yourself, you know, do I need this item? Could I buy this item cheaper someplace else? And get them in, you know, to see your decision-making process when it relates to money. And again, making it fun. But allowing them to see your process in choosing things and how some items are more costly than others.
So at that age, what we want to be really giving them foundationally is not to make a lot of emotional decisions, but to think through some of the decision, you know, choices that they're going to make.
Exactly. And we both know a lot of adults who make emotional decisions.
and they
shouldn't.
Well, those are the ones that usually cost us in the long run.
Absolutely.
So now, Sam, as we progress and we start getting into, you know, some of the older children and we get into that 11 to 13-year-old range, and this is, you know, where, you know, talking about money starts to really fundamentally make more sense. They'll have a lot more ownership in this and the identification of, you know, choices gets better.
Exactly. And now that they're getting a little bit older, you know, 11 and 12 and 13-year-olds, you know, girls will babysit, boys will, you know, maybe cut grass or
paper routes, the case might be.
Things of that nature. You know, encourage – I tell the parents, you know, encourage your child to save 10 cents of every dollar they bring in. Now, we talk to our clients about saving 15% of their income, of their gross income. So if you can get your child to start saving 10% of their income – you get them in that habit, I think it goes a long way in developing that savings habit. You know, and have them set a goal for something they may want. You know, nowadays, I mean, I don't know what kids want to go buy new sneakers or you know, some toy.
Usually but, they're video games, things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully but, non-violent ones, by the way.
Yeah, we would hope. But, you know, encourage them to start saving money and to, towards a goal. You know, so if they want a, you know, an Xbox video game, you know, they can save towards that. And what we find amazing is that once they start saving money and they start accumulating this money, they're apt not to go spend it foolishly because they earned it. It wasn't just given to them. And I think that's a big thing. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, consider a matching program. So for every dollar they put in, you know, let the parent put in 25 cents. And again, it gives them an incentive to start saving more. You know, maybe they want to save 15 cents on every dollar they bring in because mom and dad are kicking in more money. And again, it's all that process of, you know, saving for something as opposed to, you know, not saving and forming the habit. You know, either you form the habit of saving or you form the habit of not saving. And
well, the key word there that you're mentioning, Sam, is really it's called habit. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, your children are going to emulate what you do, how you think,
absolutely,
and what money is to you in your life. You know, a few weeks back, we had one of our partners, Dave Suki, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about, you know, the concept should be, you know, is, you know, you have some stewardship in your life. So it might be, you know, what we call that 10-10-80 or 10-20-70. And the idea being is, you know, 10% to charity, to church, to whatever the case might be, 10 to 20% or even more if possible, perhaps towards savings and
right,
putting it away for the future. And then the balance of that would be towards, you know, things that are important to someone or that you can teach your children of, you know, how to save and then where you might use those funds.
Exactly. And we all know that, you know, children learn by what they see. And if you live a life of no savings and, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, then your children are going to wind up in the same place.
So the 11 to 13 range, you know, we talk about, you know, it's really about making better decisions, forming the right habits, okay, and then, you know, just working at those activities.
Right.
Now we go to our next stage, which is our 13 to 18-year-olds. And as we start looking at those, you know, I know you're going to share with us some activities, but here we're getting into some finance basics, school,
right,
things of that
and,
nature.
You know,
so what do you have?
At that point, you know, we want to sit our children down and talk to them about college. And again, that's a process that starts at a very early age. But now it's getting a little bit closer. I was on the phone with a client yesterday looking at, you know, having a conversation with their daughters looking at different colleges, Cornell versus Delaware. Huge difference,
big
in
difference
price.
Big difference in price.
Absolutely. But you want to point out that, you know, first of all, college grads earn twice as much as non-college grads. So you want to obviously encourage them to go to college. But, again, you need to have that discussion about what you can afford and what they're responsible for, you know, the child's what they're responsible for, and who's signing the loan. You know, everyone gets the Stafford loans, and, you know, hopefully they all get merit scholarships. But and a lot of times they're going to borrow money, and who's paying it back? You know, it's extremely important. And again, you can go to the college websites. They all have to have them now. And the net price calculator, they call it. And you go on there and you can plug in your information and they will tell you what you're going to be responsible for. And that would encourage people to do that with their child. I recently had a client whose daughter's pretty, pretty smart, was looking at a University of Vermont. But when her father sat her down and said, okay, sweetheart, this is what you're going to have in terms of student loans, she looked at him and said, Dad, I'm going to go to OCC for the first 2 years because it's really cheap, and I'll transfer later.
You know, it's interesting as you're saying that. You know, one of the things that we always tell our listeners is that when you're dealing with college, with your kids and so forth, you know, they should be going to school on purpose. They should have skin in the game as it relates to, you know, understanding the financial aspects of it and where they are. And that 13 to 18-year-old person really needs to be educated in that.
Yeah, and I think it goes a long way in them deciding, first of all, taking college serious, because honestly, at, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 a year, that's an expensive party if you're not paying attention.
Absolutely.
And if they're going to be responsible for that, I think you'll get a lot more out of them.
So if we, you know, kind of leverage that into our last segment, because our time is growing short here, is that we have that 18-year-old, and we talk about, you know, at 18-plus, we want to be talking about managing debt and being careful there.
Yeah.
So just a few pointers that you can point out.
Yeah, we want to encourage them to, you know, get a credit card, to develop, you know, a credit history, but also realize that the bill comes due at the end of the month, and you shouldn't be buying anything on a credit card that you can't pay for at the end of the month, because we don't want them getting in debt. And again, it's an emergency vehicle as you send your child off to college.
So, you know, as we wrap up, you know, it really summarizes down to this, which is teach them early, develop the right habits.
Right.
Teach them to, you know, save, then spend, not spend, then save.
Exactly.
And also avoid any emotional decisions, if you can, as it relates to money, and avoid debt wherever possible.
Absolutely. If you can get that accomplished, I think you'll give your child a real leg up on as they grow into adulthood.
Very good. Sam, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on our show today.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Very good. You've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our guest today, Sam Soprano, CFP, partner at CNA Financial Group, and host of Outside the Box, on Hunterton Radio. I'm your host, Frank Congelos. I want to thank you for being with us this week, and I wish you a blessed week for you and your family. I look forward to speaking to you next week. If you have any questions, you can write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736, or email us at info@iofrw.com. Thank you, and have a blessed week.